Jesus came and said to them, all authority, that's what power, is given unto me in heaven and in the earth. Say, go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you to your lips, even to the end of the world. Right? So, we said, Mark 16, from verse 15, Jesus said to them, go ye therefore and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name they'll cast out devils, they'll speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, shall not hold them. They will lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. So what we said earlier on was the fact that why Matthew was focused on discipleship, Mark focused on the same instruction will be the entry into discipleship, right? Is that what we said? And then we said, this instruction will be the instruction of scriptures, Genesis down to Malachi. Right? So to be the instruction of scriptures, Genesis down to Malachi, man will be seen bringing God's plan to pass. Right? Okay. Very important. Don't miss that. And we said, what will be taught in discipleship will be, discipleship will be carried out majorly by teaching. Right? Was that what we said? Discipleship will be carried majorly by teaching. And, in teaching, we said Christianity is a knowledge-based faith. So you walk in the, said that in the earlier section, you walk to the degree of your knowledge, right? So what if you say you know something, for example, you said you know something and you're not walking in the light of it, you don't know it. Hallelujah. Knowledge is what you are, your walk. Hallelujah. Right? Okay, and I say we'll look at that much more as we get into growing spiritually. Okay. We also looked at the fact that as regards the leading of the Spirit, right? Now what should be taught to is the leading of the Spirit. And in the leading of the Spirit, we majored in the first section, we looked more on discerning of spirits, right? That the believer has the capacity to discern spirit. We have that capacity. And that capacity is from the Spirit. You just know. Right? Right? Hallelujah. And as you study the word, right? Constant teaching and consistency, you would grow as in you would flow in it better. Just the same way when it comes to tongues, the first time when people spoke in tongues was ba, ba, bi, bi, ba, ba. You know? Some people interpret their tongues. The first time they interpreted their tongues, the Lord said, what dropped in my heart? What dropped in my heart is, some people even went to the point of saying, thus says the Lord. Somebody said, what I can see. No, what dropped in my heart is light, light, light. After the 10 minutes tongue, so you interpret light, light. Amen. I give an example that during the last time we had the believers meeting, I saw the person in his believers group. Is it he? So you will know, is it he I'm talking about? And the person was just flowing. This is the same person that years back I remember was just saying, light. What dropped in my heart is light. You understand? Amen. So you discover that, but over time, you have been taught well, right? You have been taught, and consistency over time is that you are becoming some people, let me use some people, but they are becoming eloquent as regards tongues and interpretation. So it also applies to for what? Discernment of spirit is a capacity of our spirit, right? Capacity is our capacity as believers to discern spirit. But we said a believer can hear even voice of Satan, can hear evil spirits, can hear the voice of evil spirits. But you now have a believer can and a non-believer can. Man is a spirit, or man has a spirit. Choose one. Man is a spirit, man has a spirit. Choose one. Amen. Amen. But with the spirit, he relates with what? Spiritual information, right? So he gets information from the spirit, right? Right? Come on. Gets information from the spirit. From the spirit of God. From evil spirit. Amen. But the difference between them and the believers is the fact that they can't recognize it. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Some people, before they even got saved, they were seeing, they were having, they could foretell. I've not seen people that foretell and they're not born again. They asked, how was that possible? How would it be possible? Man is a spirit. Hallelujah. Yeah, man is a spirit. Some of them can even get information and say, it's a prophet. The person you are calling a prophet is not even born again. Amen. When were you born again? I was born again in my mother's womb. You should get back. Amen. Glory to God. You can't be born again in your mother's womb. I hope you are following me. So, you must understand this. Hallelujah. Information to the realms of the spirit. Man have access to them. Glory to God. John chapter 12, verse 8. John 12, 28. Yeah, 28. We discovered that the people that were with Jesus heard. They were not saved. John the Baptist was not saved when he heard God speak to him. Right? This is my beloved. He heard the voice of God. This is my beloved son, whom I well pleased. He wasn't saved. Hallelujah. Peter, James, and John in Matthew 17, in the Mount of Transfiguration, were not saved when he heard the voice of God. Right? They were not saved. So, a believer, an unbeliever can hear the voice of God. Right? But he cannot discern it. You know, in John 12, 28, they said it was a thunder. Others said it was an angel. They can't discern it. And Saul, in Acts of Apostles chapter 9, when he heard Jesus, he didn't know who. He couldn't, he heard, but he couldn't recognize until he asked, who art thou, right? And he said, I am Jesus. That means he couldn't recognize it at first. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So that is the difference. But when a man is born again, he has that capacity to know. Glory to God. He has that capacity to know. And we looked at some scriptures. Acts 2, Acts 5, we saw that they were aware it was an angel. It was Jonathan. His servant was aware. The believer has that capacity. Glory to God. That was where we left off, right? Was that where we left off the last session? We have that capacity to know. Amen. So, sir, the question, I'm just trying to ask sir some questions. Remember, I said it's a long teaching that I've broken down, remove some of the wings, so that we will round up today as we get prepared for CRC the coming days. There was that. Okay. Let's begin to get through to dreams. But now, before we get to dreams again, I told us that when it comes to the things of the spirit, there's intelligence, right? You must be intelligent, right? You must be intelligent. There are intelligent things you must. There are intelligent things you must do, and you must be intelligent to understand and flow, especially recognizing the leading of the spirit. See, stop this, and I want to say it again. I want to really emphasize this. Stop this trying to box God to a circle. If my hand does not vibrate, God is not telling me to go. Who are you? Does God look like your math teacher? Amen. If my hand is doing me this way, we are not different from the woman that says her hand is scratching her and money is coming. Yes, now. So stop nonsense. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Stop that. See, my head, leg hits stone. That means good thing is coming or bad luck is in front. What is your problem? What's the problem? Glory to God. So let's look at dreams a bit. Let's make sure. Okay. So we said, before we enter dreams, I just want to make sure I've done justice to some of these things here. Taking some part of and some part in. So we said this, that even in the sleep, right? Even in the sleep, discernment, right? You can, discernment of spirit was present even in the sleep. Right? Hallelujah. And it's not for prophet alone. And remember, very important, if you can't tell who is what, back off. Don't start putting Matthew back off. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Once you can't tell, just leave it. Just back off. Glory to God.
back off completely. Now let's look at something. Let's get to dreams. Let's just look at interactions in dreams again. Acts 2:16. So look at what Peter narrating their experience in verse 16. He says, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Shall come to pass in the last, they said, God, I'll pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see vision. Your old men shall dream dreams. So, see visions, dream dreams, right? So we said last time that the dreams will be what? Will be dreams, will be visions, right? Was that what we said? Yeah. Hallelujah. To be visions. Okay. Visions. Hallelujah. So that means they would see visions when they sleep. Something around that, right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. Very important. So let's see some basic things about dreams before we get back to what Peter is saying. Let's see some basic things. In Genesis 37, wonderful Joseph. I told us to go through some passages of scriptures last week, right? Did you go through them? Okay. So we begin to look at them again. Genesis 37. Are you there? So verses 3. Now Israel, Jacob, loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. But when his brethren saw it, saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Remember, I showed us last week that Joseph's dream was his father's dream, right? So don't take dreams. I told us, don't take dreams too seriously. Dreams are interactions. Dreams are interactions of can be interactions from where we were left off when you were conscious. We're going to see that. Hallelujah. So we said, this was his father's dream. When I mean his father's dream, his father induced it. Many a time, dreams, what we call dreams, can be induced by what we left off doing before we slept. Hallelujah. We slept and you can't pronounce Jesus. I've said that over again. Don't be thinking, is my spiritual candle about to off? It's not about to off. It's just you didn't sleep well. Just change your position. You discover that you will call Jesus. In fact, you shout down the whole block to Jesus. Hallelujah. So it's just a sleeping position that you just need to adjust. Amen. Amen. Dreams are a reflection of what you have as leftovers in your mind many a time. But you know how it works. I told us that last week. Did I say it here? I told us that in as much as a reflection of what you have, most times you can still have the supernatural. Right? You can still have the supernatural in that process. Just like Peter. Peter was hungry. That was what was happening to him before he fell into the trance. He was hungry. So what came to him? Huh? What came to him? Food. Right? Food. Now remember, he was hungry. Leftover from what he had in his mind. Glory to God. But also, and the angel needed to pass across a message to him. Right? So now it was a dream. Right? Right? Now the message was now passed through that dream. Just as simple like that. Many times you can have that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But take note, dreams are first of all a leftover of your mind. What you had in your mind before you fell asleep, before when you were conscious. Just leftovers. Amen. So that means from somebody's dream, you can know his knowledge of the scriptures. I'll get to that shortly. You can also know the state of the person's mind. Amen. Amen. So there's nothing like spiritual husband or spiritual wife. I don't know, I just have, in case I have spiritual husband, you are not well. Marriage has never been spiritual. When I mean spiritual, it's a joining of physical people, right? Scripture. Have you ever seen spiritual husband and wife inside the scriptures? So where did you get that nonsense from? There's this woman that always comes to me when I am sleeping. I do not say me. I've never had such kind of useless experience. Amen. But I've heard people give me such kind of experiences before. Hallelujah. Spiritual. She always comes to me, and when she comes to me, she comes with two children. And so do I have a spiritual wife? Did you pay down spiritually? Amen.
if you're really God. Amen. So most times, even having sex in the dream is a reflection of what was in your mind before you sleep. Glory to God. So, so you guys need to know your spiritual state. Amen. Amen. Uh-huh. So most times, for such kind of things, there was somebody one time I told, change what you watch. Just as soon as I change what you watch. Too much Nigerian movie, they are pressing you in the night. Who is pressing you? Who? Just the way you are sleeping, just turn like this. Nobody will press you. Why that they were pressing you, as you stood up. It was because you are not breathing well. That's why was pressing you. Sleep well. Nobody will press you. Not relationships. Glory to God. Amen. Sir, you are making this thing look light. It's a serious matter. I remember one time, some of your pastors here. Some of your pastors here. We pray for that like that for one brother. they were always coming to press, the mother they were always going to press her in the night. Some of your pastors even laid hands. Never again! If she did not sleep right, it will come back. Glory to God. Just some superstitious belief that you have. Right? Mm-hmm. So where were we? So we said, I said, Joseph's dream was his father. It was his father's sleep. It was his father's dream. The father made him dream that dream because his brethren were already 18 and his father loved him. So there was already hatred, right? So Joseph now dreamt to provoke his brethren. Now dreamt that his own sheep stood, and that 11. Now, take note, it was 11 sheep that bowed to you. Listen, now, look at what, I have to be very, okay. Okay, let's look at it. Chapter 37, right? Look at it, verses 5. And Joseph dreamed a dream. And he told his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said to them, here I pray you, this dream which I dream. For behold, we were binding sheep in the field, and lo, my sheep rose, and also others stood upright. And behold, your sheep stood around about and made obeisance to my sheep. And his brethren said to him, shall thou indeed reign over us? Shall thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him the more for his dream and for his word. Hallelujah. Now, question. First of all, now, why will he dream this kind of dream? His father, right? Right? Calm down. If you, when you're watching small view, when you're seeing yourself flying your dream, you say, ah! I started dreaming I was flying. When driver went, I believe I can fly in my dream. I believe I can touch the sky. It's just a reflection of that. Don't take it too serious. Amen. Amen. How many of you are, if you are serious with ministry, why would you know you are serious? You see crowd. You are dreamt and saw crowd. You are preaching. You saw crowd. You are on a podium. You want to know whether you are serious. I'm teaching you how you to know your disciples are serious. Have you ever dreamt of crowd? Maybe they don't know. I've never seen myself on the pulpit. I just know that we are still working. Especially when you watch people like Pastor Chris or Achille. Come on, touch me. Oh, you will dream. Let me tell you. Or you that of Benin. I see a wallless ministry. Wallless. I know in that dream you will not see anybody's face. Just wallless. If you are serious with me, we know you are serious. You like the world. Amen. There's nobody. Everybody is so crowd. But the problem is, you are not seeing the crowd in your shell. They are the ones to make it happen. Amen. Yeah. I love a boy that told me, sir, I don't know why. I didn't see crowd. But when I started ministry, oh my God, he's going to listen to this guy. Well,
I don't know what is evil doing. Is now feeling frustrated with the ministry. He said, there are only two, three. There is a guy, I said, I borrow somebody's, what is that thing? Ultra. I said, yeah. Stay with the two. Just stay at it. Stay with the two. It will grow. Are you? The same comfort where we are being comforted. I'm comforting you. Amen. Hey, I'm comforting you. Say, it will grow. Say, but sir, it was number. I say, yes. You know, that drives some people to a lot of crazy things like social media, trying to get 10,000 status views. You are not having disciples, you're only having fans. These are two different things. Hallelujah. When you have disciples, you have disciples. When you have fans, when you have fans to turn aside, to switch to the next club. When you have disciples, die hard. I want my pastor every day, anytime. Can you understand? That's a disciple. But fans, you only have fans. So wear your watch. Instead of your watch, instead of you to be teaching people, designing people, it's a move. You know, the ministry, 21st century ministry is going online. So we are now online. I do the regular church services online. You know, it's because you are afraid to face it. Disciple men. Amen. Some people can't even handle one. Not 100,000. The other side. Some people have God's dreams. We know. What's that? See, let me tell you when I had my first dream of crowd. Some of you are still wearing pants. This is years gone by. I never even feel Tenak Hall. And that dream is still alive. Amen. It's still alive. Really God, it will happen. Do you understand me? But see. Yeah? That dream. Does that a dream? Glory to God. Hope you're following you. Amen. Amen.
So, like as I said, this was the father's dream.
So, because of hatred around, he now saw a sheep. Now, remember I told you that anything, if they were paying attention to what Abraham said, the first person who saw that had a dream that is not, that was not Adam, would be Abraham. Genesis 15, right? Had a dream. And what was that vision about, or that dream? What was it about? It was about his descendant going into Egypt. Do you understand? So if they were paying attention, whatever thing Joseph had saw or had seen will be pointing towards the same direction, the preservation of the nation. But even in that, Joseph did not see Pharaoh. He did not see Egypt. Why? He does not know Pharaoh. He does not know Egypt. Okay, so your dreams will first of all deal with what you know. Things, that's why I say it's a reflection of activities that are around you. Do you understand me? Now, because Joseph does not know who Pharaoh was, there was no way he was going to see Pharaoh in his dream. You say, are you hearing me? Eh? There's no way. He was going to see Potiphar's wife. How? Do you get it? But what did you think? Now, we studied together. What did you think was wrong with what Joseph did? Joseph was wrong. Remember, I told us last week that they all misinterpreted it. Right? Joseph, his father. Well, he now saw another one. He now added son and moon. The father now, look at the father was very quick. He said, you be your mother and myself. You see what I said? Amen. What did Joseph do wrong? Based on everything we did last week, what did Joseph do wrong? Come on.
It's a question of the maximum.
What did he do wrong? By saying it to them, fine. That was good. Yeah? Again? Someone else? What do you think he did wrong?
Organic okay, to do wrong. What did he do wrong? He's opening Bible. How are you going to open Bible? I just like asking you to go to the back of the test. Opening Bible. Serious Christocentric brother.
Okay. Now. Let me ask you this. Do you think Joseph should have told his brother? Yes, not in a heat. Perfect. Hallelujah. He have told his brother. He shouldn't have told his brother. He was in a heat. Joseph was in a heat. Hallelujah. Remember from what we've been learning, Peter, and he had a dream. He talked about it. Right? Aha. So, Joseph shouldn't have one, and then telling them, he told them in a heat. That dream was for him. First of all, also, if you read everything after you read last week, you discovered that all the dreams that he had was concerning the person that dreamt. So the person that dreamt is the chief author. You cannot die in your dream. I've never shot in a dream before you woke up and you did it like this, so this shit. Severally. I've been in dream, I said, so I was removing the bullet. Ah! Warrior. You are the author. Okay? I've been up to a point in your dreams that will disappear. Just like a pit. You are the author. It's your dream. You are the subject. Sometimes I just enjoy some dreams. I just enjoy it. But don't take it too serious. When I wake up, I just have that movie. I just did that theater and dream, just. Glory to God. Amen. So he was too quick. He was in a haste. The dream was for him. So very important. The dream was for him, and he was in a haste. And you know, everything that is done in a haste always leads to trouble. This is why many a times when it comes to the leading of the Spirit and the way I've been taught is just to be a bit slower than God. Just to be a bit slower. Do you know that? The way I've been taught. Just to be a bit slower. No need for haste. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So doing things in a haste always leads to trouble. Just like for Joseph. He got it all wrong. Not just him, even his father, even his mother. Yeah, but even his father, even his brother. When he said he would pay the sheep of his brother paid obeisance to him. Now, what it means, that word obeisance, if you look at the way it's used in scripture, it's used for to give thanks. Was that what the letter did? That was what the letter did. Do you understand? They gave thanks. To thank him for that. Do you understand? But if you don't look at it critically, how did they interpret it? They interpreted it by saying, do you mean you will lord over us? Did you get that? So they hated him for that. Now, there's somewhere else I'm going. Now, they hated him for that. Listen. This is going to be striking. Okay. I will take it little by little. Little by little. Now, I told us last week that his father did not bow to him. Did his father bow to him? His mother bowed to him. And there's no record that even Benjamin bowed to him. Yeah, so that means thinking that it was going to be bowing down was wrong. So you understand? Now, the other one again that you run is very interpreted. Are you trying to say you're going to lord over us? After this incident, there was never a time. In fact, kingship was not going to come from Joseph. Right? The kingship come from Joseph. He come from Joseph. It was Judah now. So that means this what Joseph saw was has nothing to do with rulership. Do you understand? Whatever he saw has got nothing to do with rulership. Because in fact, we didn't even hear of Joseph's listening again. Did you hear of anything again? When you now get to Hebrews 11, there was no place it was mentioned. No, there was no place his dream was mentioned. When you get to Hebrews 11, the only thing that was mentioned from Joseph concerning faith was when he spoke to his people that they should take his bones when they are leaving Egypt back. That he said that by faith. Do you understand me? But his dream was not part of it. So that means his dream was not part of it. It shows you that his dream was not concerning Christ. Hallelujah. Come on, was not concerning Christ, was not concerning salvation. I hope you are following that. Aha. Very, very vital. How about that? Let's go back. I'm coming. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So I said in that dream that he dreamt, the dream will only carry the people that were immediate to him, things that he knew. So because he didn't know Pharaoh and others, he can't have Pharaoh in that dream. Hallelujah.
Something else you will see. When it comes to dream, don't think dream. Dreaming dreams is for only believers. Everybody be dreaming. Here you understand. So that you know, not for believers. Everybody dream. Everybody dream. So unbelievers can dream. But there's something you need to see about Joseph quickly. Do you know, okay, the question I wanted to ask was this. Imagine Joseph didn't tell his brethren, listen, would he have still gotten to Egypt and saved his nation? Would he have saved his nation and then took them to Egypt? He would have. Would his brethren have sold him? They wouldn't have sold him. But one way or the other, he would have. Do you understand? But telling him, saying that dream to me caused him a lot of problems. He was captured. In fact, if not for, was it not Dan or one of his brothers, he would have been killed. They would have killed him. He was just being too fast. You know, he learned his lesson. He was just being in delusion. Sometimes some people carry their dreams in such a manner that they are, you can say, they are deluded. Yeah. Jonathan, just carry it to your head. I told you, don't be too serious with it. Hallelujah. I need to charge this thing out too, especially drink. Then I suppose someone, one of your pastors told me like 2 years ago, he said, sir, when will you teach, 2 years, yes, said, sir, when will you teach us concerning drink? So we understand the question, calm down, we'll get there. Anyway, so I need to trash it. So that in my heart, I can answer all your questions. Glory to God. As you guys dream issues. Yeah, tomorrow, you know, go and meet your pastor and say, sir, I have a dream. Pastor, if you remember, come and meet me, I have a dream. Let's know you have work to do. Remember, I said you don't tell your dreams, right? To your pastor. You don't tell your dreams to your leaders. You don't tell your dreams to your leaders or your pastor, right? Brother, what should you do? You can only tell them when you understand what your dream is, right? When you don't know anything about it, show it to you. Yeah? If you don't understand it, forget about it. Forget about it. Yeah? Not very simple. Okay. So, something else you must understand is the fact that if a revelation is from God, you will know what it means. You know what it means. Revelations from God. I told us it's always clear. Right? It is always clear. A believer shouldn't be dependent on dreams. Why? I told you that is the base. Have I told us that before? The base of religion. Religion. Very big. And we'll see much of that soon. You know, after a while, Joseph, the same Joseph, stopped talking about his dream. What was his dream? No, he stopped. Look at Genesis 40, when he now had to, you know, he was quick to interpret, right? Now look at Genesis 40 verse 8, when he called Bera and the other guy, Genesis 40, and the baker, yeah, called Bera and the baker, verse 8. Now look at what he said, and they said to him, we have dreamt a dream, and there is no interpreter of it, and Joseph said to them, and Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me, I pray. Tell me, I pray. He said, don't interpretation belong to God? That is something that he didn't know before now. Experience has taught him that interpretation belongs to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He's not talking about his dream. Interpretation belongs to God. Hallelujah. So that means he's growing up. Right? He's growing up. Look at verses 16. Look at this. Verses 14.
Now, look at what he told him. As I was saying, yet with the 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head and restore thee into thy place, and thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup unto his hand, after the former manner, when thou hast his butler. Verse 14. But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. This is that. Baba, the thing don't read for us. He was not even remembering he was going to be the savior of the world. Do you understand that? He was not remembering his brothers were going to bow to him. Now begging a cupbearer, I beg, remember me when you reach there. Do you get? So that was at some point. It is this. You only saw the others that were paying obeisance to him. You didn't see all these other ones, right? So he was not learning.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So this comes from our activities. I have something in my notes. It comes from interactions from our regular activities. And that is why you must properly handle them. You must properly handle them. Properly handle them. Look at 1 Kings. Let's see Solomon. We were with Solomon last week. We were in Solomon last week. You know, after I was in the office some days back, and I told them, you know, there's such a way this thing just pop up. So you know, I'm talking about Solomon and how well the Solomon was. That Solomon asked for the right thing, you know. See, he saw God and he told God he wanted wisdom. I said, God, let's not go there. You know what? I said, see. Solomon, what is Solomon doing? Solomon, it was in a dream. This is not true. How do people read their Bible? I said, oh, yeah, let's go. I showed him. I said, look at where he woke up. Our pastor, that is the problem. Did you see that? Yeah. You know, like, when I showed us, some of us are like, it was dream. It was dream. And what's played out? His father's word. Right? You know that I get to you. Hallelujah. It was a dream. Amen. Amen. What's the dream? 1 Kings 3. 1 Kings 3. What's the dream? Look at 1 Kings chapter 3. Okay. Verse 5. It says, in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God asked, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. Right? Right? Okay. Look at verse 15. And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. You see that? And remember, I told you, I'm not going to discuss that today. Now, remember, I told you that on several occasions in the Old Testament section of your Bible, which is Genesis to Malachi, as we call it, you discover that there are many times that God will speak, they will think it's an angel, and then at times an angel will talk, they will think it's God. So most times you have to carefully look at it, right? Was that what I said? Right? And what I just said is not in relation to 1 Kings. I just remember to say, hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, what happened there was a dream. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Was a dream. And a dream is all about you. Look at it very well. It's all about you. You are the subject matter of your dream. Back to Acts 2:16. Now, if you read where Peter was writing from, which is Joel 2:28, it's not that Joel didn't tell us the kind of dreams that we should dream. So it was open, right? Right? It was open. But you know, if you get back to Acts 2, we can actually, I said this last week, but I'm repeating again, we can actually know what the dream was all about. Right? What was it all about? Get back to the, remember I said the utterance and the dream and the vision will be together. Right? Right? The utterance and the vision will align together. So what was the utterance about? You read verse 11, they said concerning the wonderful works of God. Right? That means their visions will be also concerning the wonderful works of God. Okay, believe it. To be concerned with wonderful works of God. So that means these dreams in Acts 2:16 will be different from every other, like a mere dream. The dreams will be unique and different. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And something else. They will dream dreams. Remember, wonderful works of God, right? That means the dreams will speak about Christ, right? Come on, right? Wonderful works of God, it will speak about Christ. Very important. Very important. I'm not doing my notes. The dreams will deal with the discernment of spirit. Remember I said it in our last session, I said for the believers we have that capacity, right? So even in visions we can easily discern, right? What is this, what is not this, what is what this is not for. And remember, don't take it too serious. Don't take dreams. I thought to say it today. I said this, what I'm telling you, I said it to myself over and over again before coming here. I said I'm going to emphasize it very well. Don't take dreams to serious. The ones when you are in, I'm getting this. When you are in that point of zip, what is it? Okay, throw it away. Don't have it, throw it away. Glory to God. And we see that. Amen. Amen. I remember a man doesn't necessarily need to be born again to dream. A man doesn't necessarily need to be born again to dream. A man doesn't necessarily also need to be born again. Okay, to dream. Okay, let me say stop there. Also, here's what I have. Reading from Matthew 27, verse 19. Let's get to Matthew 27, 19. Because man is a spirit, as I said earlier, or has a spirit, he can pick up information from the spirit. Right? From the spirit realm. And that man might not necessarily be born again. Look at Matthew 27. This is Pilate's wife. Pilate's wife had a dream about Jesus. Interesting. Is that not interesting? Pilate's wife. 27, verse 19. Look at it. He says, and when she sent, and when he was set down to judgment, to judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with this just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. Shalom. This is that shalom. Because of him. Now he had a dream. Now something becomes controversial. Now listen. A bit controversial, but not. Now, if you put this side by side with Corinth, Paul's message to Paul's writing in Corinth, it says, you can check it again. Second. Just a second. Okay. Okay. If you put it side by side with 1 Corinthians 1, where it says, the princes of this world are divine, they know they will not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now, you put it side by side, there is a contradiction here. Because Pilate's wife sent a message that that man is a just man, right? Bill, what is happening here, right? Because automatically, the princes of this world, Pilate is part of them. Hallelujah. Amen. So automatically, the wife too will be part. Your papa is W. Your mama is N.W. You know what I mean? Amen. God. So, but what's happening here? Now, we don't have information of who was in her dream or information about the dream, but the dream was that this guy is a just guy, right? So it has, so I'm trying to solve something for you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, the guy is a just guy. Does not mean, it doesn't state whether he is the Lord of glory or not. Hallelujah. And how did she get involved? Okay. Remember, dreams are reflections of replay of what? Activities around. Right? Okay. So that means automatically she must have gotten information from the husband about Jesus. Come on. Right? So how did she know Jesus was a just guy? The husband was upset. Hope you are following me. Eh? The husband must have said so. So, if the husband must have said so, so that means, put it somewhere. That means what she had as dream was a reflection of that. And what was it? The man is a just guy. That is, the man does not warrant to be killed. All facts, even before Pilate, showed that this guy has done nothing. Do you understand me? So, it's got nothing to do with whether he is the Lord or not. Hope you are following that. So, you know, from a face value without reading well, you might begin to think there's contradiction. No, there's no contradiction. You understand? There's no contradiction. Had it been a no, they would have crucified the Lord of glory. She didn't know he was Lord now. She only knew he was a just guy. You understand? That's very important. But something to see is that an unbeliever too saw in a vision or in a dream. Do you understand me? Haha. Amen. Amen. So that also means that remember we said we don't know who informed her. I mean, well, who she saw in the dream, right? Right? Whether an angel or the Lord or thereabout. So that means an unbeliever too can have experience in a dream. Or put it, can experience things in a dream. Formerly, years back, what caught my fancy, what actually was, as in, I couldn't just relate it, but I threw it away, was when I was hearing that Arab nations, I was watching something on TV years back, and the guy said, he became a preacher, but he said, how he got converted was that the Lord Jesus appeared to him. Yeah, like how? You know, but I couldn't, because I wasn't able to get to her, just threw it one side. You get? Well, he was a preacher. He became a preacher. But how he got saved was in an Arab nation. He said, the Lord Jesus appeared to him. Even if I was like, even if you want to lie, lie well. But it's possible. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Come on. Amen. People are still seeing the Lord Jesus is to do. Amen. And they are getting saved. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And we will receive much more of those encounters in our world today again. Hallelujah. We'll receive more. Especially in the nations where the gospel, where there are restrictions to the gospel. They think they can receive the gospel by their policies. The gospel will get there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Many of them are getting dreams. Hallelujah. The Lord is appearing to them in their dreams. Hallelujah. Then it's happening. Glory to God. You know, most times we get ourselves to that box, so we begin to box ourselves and say, no, I said the gospel must be preached. I know I said something like this to you last year. Hallelujah. You must have the gospel preached first. See, yes, it's right. The gospel must be preached, yeah. But you know, you cannot box God for supernatural things like that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Paul didn't need to know too much now before he had that encounter. Yes, he had heard about Jesus in Acts 7 into Acts 8. Do you understand me? He had heard about Jesus because he was there when Ananias was being killed. I mean, it was just Ananias. Stephen. He was not consenting to his death. He was there, he heard all Stephen. He might not have known too much about the person of the Lord Jesus, but that encounter he had brought everything together. Hallelujah. That encounter was, I'll call it the permit me, I can be wrong tomorrow, I can be wrong, but for now, let me say, to me, it becomes the high point of false revelation, that encounter. Okay, that changed everything about him. Everything. He had that encounter. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me tell you what I said then. I said, this guy, let me say, I'll say it like this. That was the that guy said that, like, see, there's no way. He must have heard the gospel somehow. You understand? Maybe the dream, I heard the gospel. I'm just trying to box myself. Hallelujah. Don't box talk. Glory to God. We'll receive more of those encounters. Hallelujah. In those nations. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. More. No, don't box talk, man. I've told you about someone that said they have never seen me before. Never seen me before. When I showed up one time, she said she has seen me in a vision. And that vision was teaching her the word. As sweet as that could be, I was like, I have it too. That person is not in ministry today. If the person did what, she was not even stable. That was in Abuja. The person was not even stable. After one whole section, how far this sister? Thank God I didn't mention me. Do you get? But he said she saw. Or did she came to the scene? I don't know. Amen. Yeah. Very important. Don't box God. That is what I'm just trying to let you know. Hallelujah. So, an unbeliever can have experiences too in a dream. Look at Ecclesiastes 5. Dreams come from our interactions. You can't tell me you are hungry and you slept, you ate. You're not telling me, did I? You know, there was a question that somebody asked years back. He said, can somebody be a witch without knowing? Show what all I do. Can you be a witch without knowing? That is a very funny question. Do you understand? I don't know what I've eaten. I ate food in my dream. Maybe I've eaten poison. I know where. I showed us last week, right? In Isaiah. Isaiah knew that if you are hungry, what you eat, you eat. And you wake up and still be hungry. He said, if you are thirsty, you will drink. You will wake up and still be thirsty. That means you can have those experiences. Do you understand me? Don't get that. I don't know what. I've been eating my drinks lately. Eat one. But you can never be full. But just eat one. I love the way a man of God answered that question one time. Funny, I can't answer it like that. But a man of God answered that question, asked him, sir, is it good for a Christian to eat in the dream? And I said, eat all! He said, what did the scripture say? For believers, he said, he maketh the table. I said it like the man of God, right? He maketh the table in the presence of his enemies, right? Again. Lord God, I know that table. Your stomach. your stomach. Okay. And then also the open where Ecclesiastes 5. So dreams are actually a reflection of our activities. Okay. Ecclesiastes 5. Look at verse 3. It says, for a dream cometh through the multitude of what? Business. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Through the multitude of business. Huh? Now, we use that word business, is the word Ian. I-N-Y-A-N. It's a word used for a task. You find it in Ecclesiastes 1 verse 3, in verse 13,
and I give my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sort of travail has God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. Now that is the word travail. Chapter 2, verses 23 and 26 is the word travail also. The word travail. Chapter 4, verses 8. That is the word labor. Labor. Chapter 8, verse 6. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, when you get back to that chapter 5 verse 3, okay, you have it also in chapter 5 verse 14. Chapter 5 verse 14. That's the word travail. So that means what the writer of Ecclesiastes is saying. Now, what the writer of Ecclesiastes is saying is the fact that it's a dream come through the multitude of tasks. So that means dreams will come from our activities, tasks, our activities. To the writer knew. Hallelujah. That it will come from activity, our tasks. And look at what he calls it in verse 7. It says, for in the multitudes of dreams and many words, there are also diverse vanities. But fear thou God. Diverse vanities. Say, for in the multitudes of dreams and many words are diverse vanities. That word vanity is the word abol. A-B-O-L. It's used for delusions. There are many delusions. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is a lot of delusions. Like I said earlier, if you love the work of ministry, you see crowd. Right? Delusion. You see crowd. When you love Man U, you think they will carry championship. Amen. Delusion. If I, you, Old Trafford. I mean, I say Old Trafford. Eh? Nicholas Anfield. Anfield. You dream that you're in Anfield during Champions League final. How? Get that? How? It's not possible. Because you can't even pass it under 16. Get that? Delusion. The law of delusion. Eh? Or if they tell you,
did they tell you something that you won't dream
of winning a Senegal? He must have dreamed of it. Ah! Maybe he has even seen himself playing penalty and scoring. And now got the penalty and treated. Delusions. Amen. Yeah, a lot of delusions. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So very important. So that means I can, with what this writer is saying, I can relate my dreams to my activities. Just as simple as that. To my activities. When it comes to sex, in the dream, the activities. Change your activities. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. I have something. Dream is just our mind being busy. Our mind being busy while our body is resting. And it comes with pictures. Dreams is just our mind being busy while our body is resting, and it brings pictures. Hallelujah. And it brings pictures. But as I said, you can now have those pictures, right? Now being used to pass across a message, right? Come on, right? But I'm telling you, this is what dreams are normal. And that would be, see, for someone like that, that would wait to have a dream, So it means that I don't have this in my record. I'll have to let you know. Is the fact that if you watch carefully, you must have received instructions that you are not listening to, and you don't come again to me. Look at Peter. When forfeited, was that the first time he was hearing to go and minister to the Gentiles? Jesus spoke to them. Was it not part of the people Jesus spoke to in Matthew 28? Was it not part of the people Jesus spoke to in Matthew 28? Jesus did teaching for 40 days. Acts 1:8, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall be witness, right? To me, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uppermost part of the earth. Right? Was it not part of them? But yet, it wasn't good. Hallelujah. Now God needed him to reach out to that person. He just said, he has received it. So if those guys had come without that vision, Baba no go. Show you. Baba no go one go. In fact, even him going, he saw what the other disciples did to him in chapter 11. Go ahead and read it. And I warned him. Imagine you have this thing. That elders council now warned pastor. Pastor. Interesting, right? Very funny. Yeah. You can permit some things from there, you know, you're just starting. Hallelujah. But that was like 15 years after Acts to explain. But they were still doing some funny things. Amen. Amen. Come on. After 15 years, after they were still just Jerusalem. Let's stay in one place. Let's stay in one place. Amen. But that division was for the whole world. Hope you are following me. Hope you are following me. So you have to see four-footed beast. Why was he thinking? What? He now received rope. He was now instructed by the Spirit to go. Amen. And he went. But that was not the first time the Spirit had instructed him. Because the Spirit will agree with the written word. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's go back. Glory to God. I don't know people who have had dreams of becoming president. Or people have dreams of driving plane. You know, when you know that you are at the point of achieving your dream is when you pass jam. Or when jam does not change your course. You have to, how to be an aeronautic engineer and road jam. That mission that the sea is giving you to go and reach fishery. And you have spent 5 years at home, you have to give fishery. This is the call of God for my life. This is the leading of the Spirit. And you know at the back, it is another jam that you might not pass. So let me take it, I'll do change of course. 4 years, it will not change course. Okay. I have a dream. Yeah, I heard this from Pastor Shegu. He said, he said this to a brother years back. And the brother stopped listening to him. You know the brother, what Martin Luther said, I have a dream, not scriptural. Amen. That was not scriptural. I have a dream. It's not scriptural now. And the brother was angry. How will you be angry? That's just the truth. Glory to God. Everybody can have dreams. You know some people, when Obama became president, they now went back. The old men shall dream dreams. What does he mean? When did that say? So what does he mean? Old men shall dream dreams. I got very worried. There are some things I'm trying to restrict myself from saying because of my dad. But one thing you should know is that whether you have dreams or anything, whether dreams, vision, revelation, there's something that must be your guide. Hallelujah. Something must be your guide. And that is the written word. Hope you are following me. The written word. Because on its own, dreams are not authoritative. I hope you are following me. Dreams, visions, revelation are not authoritative. They are not. They are not. Dreams, visions, they are not authoritative on their own. So, when I have dreams, visions, revelations, my first contact should be the written word. Hallelujah. So, every revelation, visions, dreams must pass through the written word. was fast with the written word. And Jesus demonstrated it to us. Hallelujah. Hope you are following. Jesus did it to us. He demonstrated it to us. You know, Jesus resurrected, right? Right? Now, listen. When he resurrected, look at Luke 24. Luke and John together. When he resurrected, when he appeared to them, you know they all touched him. Right? They all touched him. They all touched his side. They all touched his hand. They saw that it was him. Right? But you know he didn't tell them to go and preach that they have seen him, they have touched his hands. You know that was not part of what he told them to preach. I hope you know that. So that means, see, he validated that resurrection with teaching. He taught them for today. Hallelujah. His experience. He taught them through scripture. And what did he instruct them to do? Go preach the gospel. Not to go preach, I touched his hand. Hallelujah. They preached the gospel from the standpoint of that resurrection. Hallelujah. Hope you are seeing that. So that means what validates my experience is not my experience, the written word. So he taught his experience of the written word. I can have experience, but the moment I can't find it through scriptures, well explained, it's not an experience, because it's just a mere dream. Hope you are following me. So the moment a believer begins to check dream book, somebody is carrying box. And say, in box, when you see box in a dream, it shows the person is evil. And to your greatest surprise, the person who's carrying the box is now your mother-in-law or your father-in-law or your wife or your husband. And say, so my wife is a demon. My husband is an occultic man. Oh, look at your life. Dream. You know, be careful of those nonsense. You know those dream books. Some people go to market to buy dream. What does cat mean in a dream? Are you normal? Do you go to church at all? I believe it's people that are diabolical, people that are herbalists that should be using the door. Do you know those? No. How can you do that? It's out of God. They want to buy dream book. How to interpret dream. When you are walking in the dream, and all of a sudden, you now see Rolls Royce. You see Rolls Royce. No, there are two different things. You are driving Rolls Royce. Don't drive Rolls Royce in your dream. Oh, no, don't drive it. Sit at the back. Make sure you are sitting at the. If you are the one driving, the problem. I had a dream, and I was driving Rolls Royce. And in the Rolls Royce, I was sitting from at the back. The next time I saw myself driving it. Ah, brother. Please, change that dream. Amen. What is the Lord telling me? What does Rolls Royce mean in a dream? What is Rolls Royce? Nonsense. Some people have dreamt they were writing exams. They were supposed to write the exam, and they dreamt that the exam has finished. They got the exam home. Exam has finished. You have your exams tomorrow, and tonight you are dreaming that you were going to the exam. Before you go to the exam hall, they finished the exam. It shows you're not prepared for the exam. What that dream is telling you that you should go and read. Just stop. Which other way should I tell you? Stop magnifying dreams. Amen. So every dream will be validated through the written word. I've seen dreams, revelations, visions, scatter family, the words of a dream. No. Other hearing, don't allow that happen. Glory to God. Don't give dream too much special place. We can't validate it through the written word, throw it away. Hallelujah. That is the authority, the written word. Look at Acts 2. You know, Peter, I said this during the last believers' convention. I said, Peter have to explain their experience. They had an experience, you know. Peter could have just come and said, we're just standing. I'm starting to stumble. Can't you see us? What power? Where's that secret going? You know, they can do that. You know, you say, brother, you think we are drunk?
John, come.
That's it. Power,
this is their body. You know, people that would have done that. This is their body. You think you came here to joke? See y'all. Ah, I'm not joking here. Femi, okay, no, you are not part of the disciples. Matthew, Agalo. Just show them Agalo. Small, just a small. You think we are joking? No, that's not what he did. Rather, he found their experience in the mouth of the prophets. You see that? And he explained it through scriptures. That's what he did. So, your experience can only be validated with the written word. Hope you're following me. Your experience should be validated through the written word. Some people that run to meet prophets. I have a dream. Some people just be saying, that your husband is the problem. Why did he come with you? He's the problem. You carry your case around. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The written word is the validation to our any experience. Together with the written word is something else. It's called the inward witness. Together with the written word is the inward witness. It's the inward witness. Inward witness. Validate. We're getting there to the inward witness. But I'll just talk about it, and before the end of the year, we'll look at it again. We'll take up another series on leading and perception. Hallelujah. The inward witness. So, Galatians 1. Get quickly to Galatians 1. You know, look at what Paul said to the church at Galatia. Or Galatia. Look at verse 6. Galatians 1, 6. If you are there, I'm going to read it. It says, I marvel that you are soon removed from him that has called you into grace of Christ unto another gospel. Which is not another, but there be some who trouble you. That is the word taraso. Some who trouble you, taraso in the Greek. We're getting to see that. And would pervert the gospel of Christ. Now that word taraso, it means, taraso, that is the word for trouble. It's a word that means to make you lose your confidence. That's some who make you lose your confidence. What about that? Who make you lose your confidence? Trouble you, that is the word. Hallelujah. It's a word used for unsettle, make you unsettle. It says, but though we, it says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. That word accursed means to be stopped. Let him be stopped. Now when you say, though we or an angel, when you hear an angel, would that also be in dreams too? In visions too? Come on. Would that also be in dreams too? Come on. So any dream that unsettles you, stop it. Hear what it means. Hallelujah. They will make you lose your confidence. Say, but though we or an angel. So a dream also can come in here, can also play here. Right? Preach any other gospel. You know. Okay, let me not move beyond that. Though we or an angel. Now when we use the word we, shows you that the other word angel was not talking about a physical person, but a supernatural being. Hallelujah. Because the word we is used for both himself and ministers of the gospel. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That means even in dreams, if dreams become, makes you unsettled, make you lose your confidence, throw it away. Let them stop. Hallelujah. The moment I have something in my life, the moment your dreams does not reflect the gospel, stop it. The moment your dreams doesn't reflect the gospel, stop it. Hallelujah. Paul repeats it again in 2 Corinthians 11 from verse 3 to 4. It says, for I fear, lest by any means, that as the serpent beguiled Eve through the
subtlety, through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at verse 14. Now says, and no marvel, for Satan himself has transformed into an angel of light. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So very important. Don't allow things that doesn't reflect the gospel. Don't. Amen. Amen. We're not running up now, so just relax. Don't allow any experience to overwhelm you. Don't allow any experience to overwhelm you. If you don't know what it is, forget about it. Okay, hear me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So you know what, eh? You know, we said what validates is the written word, right? So in the written word shows us the inward witness. Hallelujah. So that means we can also validate things too by the inward witness. Amen. Amen. We can validate things also by the inward witness. I have something here that I copied from Pastor Shevon. He says, the written word is the authority of all revelation, and in it is the inward witness. In it is the inward witness. And the inward witness is the expression of the born-again human spirit that reacts to information exposed to it. The inward witness is the expression of the born-again human spirit that he reacts to information exposed to it. That react to information that are exposed to it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the spirit and the word agree. So that means the inward witness will agree with the word. Hallelujah. Romans 8 verse 16. Romans 8 16. It says, for the spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God, we are the children of God. Hallelujah. That is the word bears witness, is the word so material. The word used for a joint witness. You find it in Romans 2:15, Romans 9:1. Joint witness. Hallelujah. In so material, there's a voice to it. There's a voice to it. Hallelujah. So the witness of the believer or the inward witness is the witness of the Father. Hallelujah. There's a voice to it. All the while you hear you see the word joint witness, you always have a voice to it. Hallelujah. Amen. Look at that verse 16. Look at verse 17. It says, for if children then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, so if it will suffer with him, we shall also be glorified with him.
Hallelujah.
Look at verse 16. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby, that's the inward witness, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Hallelujah. That is the witness. The inward witness is the witness of the Father. Hallelujah. So I have this here. The inward witness. This is how Pastor Shego defines it. The inward witness is the witness of the human spirit born again to a fact, information, or event exposed to it. The inward witness is the witness of the human spirit born again to a fact, information, or event exposed to it. It is supernatural. Now, to recognize the inward witness is to feed well on the word of God, because it will agree with the written word. So you will feed. To recognize the inward witness is to, that means you must feed well on the word of God. Hallelujah. Now, what the inward witness is not, is the fact that the inward witness is not the confirmation of your thoughts. Hallelujah. It's not the confirmation. It's not your thoughts. It's not the confirmation of your thoughts. The confirmation of your thoughts. The inward witness is not fear or anxiety. It's not fear. They told this on Jesus, because of you felt. Oh my goodness. You felt bad. Just said, no. Don't do it. I don't feel. See. I told us the last time that when it has to do with the leading of the Spirit, first of all, take your mind off whether is it going to be. It must not be every time it must lead towards something good, a happy ending, right? Every time it must lead to a good ending. Glory to God. I hope you are following me. Paul was led to Jerusalem, where he was going to be was arrested. Amen. Amen. So it's not because you took a choice, and the choice, there was not an issue along the way. And say, I did not follow the leading of the Spirit. Who told you? Well, I was wrong. Hallelujah. I told her something the last time. I said the inward witness must endorse Christ. That is just it. You must agree with the written word. Hallelujah. Sometimes it might even be, okay, you want to get a job and you have 4 offers and all of them are good money, good pay. And there's one that is just 70,000. And you are led to pick the one of 70,000. Amen. And let the pick the one of 70,000. Say, let me go for the one of 1 million. No. Hallelujah. You got nothing to do with the pick. Sometimes it might even be the one of 1 million that you'll be led to pick. Do you understand me? No, the reason for the choice is not the money. No. Hallelujah. It's something that we'll have to look at. I will explain that to us some other time. But within the course of the year, like as I said. Hallelujah. Let me not jump the gun. Glory to God. So the inward witness is not fear. Not fear. It's not fear, or it's not fear. It's not fear. Amen. Amen. Yeah, it's not fear. It's not anxiety. The inward witness is not pity. Hope you are hearing me. It's not pity. Because you feel pity. You know why? For mostly for sisters. Also write this. The inward witness is not emotional intelligence. Don't. Hope you are following me. The inward witness is not emotional intelligence. And now, emotional intelligence, you use it for business, your corporate world. What? Don't bring it to. Just emotions. No. Are you there? I'll say, I feel the Lord is leading me to that brother. Why? Just feel pity for him. Let's continue. Let me not even go there. Hallelujah. It's not pity. It's not fear. Amen. Amen. Pastor Shego shared with us one time that went somewhere and the person then gave a prophecy. I'm getting to the prophecy. Why am I jumping down? Let me just say it. I started it. The person then told him, don't go to Lagos. I mean, don't go to Ibadan. I guess one of the two, don't come to Lagos. That gave him a word. He said, Lord, you should not go to Lagos. He said, that night, he said, this can't be God. He said, he had that bus in the midnight. In the night. He took the bus, he got to Oshodi. He went back. It can't be fear. Very heavy. It can't be fear. Yeah. It cannot be fear.
God is with him.
The pastor also reminded us, those people that, okay, you want to take a contract, let me not go there. We are not married. When you are married, we are there. Amen. You see, you know that there is this word that, listen to a woman, you don't know, before you take that business decision, she can, she's emotional, she can. Are any women? No, not.
Put yourself in the wife state. I'm changing your topic for the next few seconds.
Your husband comes to me and say, I have a business I want to do. How much is the business? I'm going to be putting now 400 million. And within 5 months, we'll be getting like, say, 2-3 billion. What will you do? First, you say, you know, you say, let's pray about it. No, do you know, as a godly wife, let's pray about it. I tell you why. The man has said, I'm going for the meeting today. He says, yeah, call. Honey, please. It's the way my hand has been doing it since morning. I think you should not take that. It's not your hand that is doing you. You are afraid to lose 100 million. Because you know, 100 million is going on water. My uncle is opposite. Santos, you know Santos now? Not for some of your pastors here. I would have been laughing at them, but where my money go? I didn't put many money. Amen. There's not any woman that told me, just follow myself. I use my brain. Just simple brain. Don't throw your eggs in one basket. Throw small, hold small. So if you fall, you're going to sit in me. Some people, when they collected 700,000, say, this is money. You need to use your money and cash out and grab 100,000. See, can I do 700? Take it! Double it. There is thief. There is thief. That is not your problem. When it was time to double it to 1.4, check BBC for the rest. Amen. Follow the inward witness. Amen. Would you want to do that? I'm not talking about your word with us, but just the surface value, just on the surface. Then we look at it sometimes in the air, like we did the other time. Hallelujah. So I said to recognize it is to feed well on the word, right? Now let's look at some. If I get there. Okay. I say it's not a confirmation to your thoughts, of your thoughts, right? Right? Okay. Okay, let's look at this. Let's look at Acts 14.
When I jump my notes, I'm not looking for how I'm going to return it. Don't
Acts 14. Let's see some expressions of the inward witness. Acts 14:9. Come on, expressions of the inward witness. It is the same head Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had failed to be healed. This is that is the word perceive. Hallelujah. To perceive. That perceive is not with your nose and smelling face, no. Hallelujah. It's by the Holy Ghost. Can you understand me? Hallelujah. Glory to God. By the Holy Ghost. When it has to do with the inward witness, it works with a reaction. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
a reaction. So you have to perceive by the Spirit. Chapter 15, verse 18, we have "And this did she many days," which is the young girl, the damsel. "And but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." Do you get that? So that is, I know that lady, that is something else you have to look at. No, that is discernment of Spirit. Hallelujah. She was able to discern. But he walked by the inward witness. So he said he was grieved in his spirit. To be grieved in his spirit, it doesn't mean he was angry. No, it was not anger. Do you get me? But it was grief. It's a reaction. Hallelujah. Yeah, this can be right. Hallelujah. A reaction. Chapter 17, verse 16. Okay, before we get to chapter 17, look at that chapter. Chapter 16, verse 10. We've looked at this before. "And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go to Macedonia, assuredly gathering." Now, that assuredly gathering, remember we said this, some be by you, which means to bring things together. They brought everything, and then they knew what the Spirit was leading them to. Right? Now, how did they know? It was by the inward witness they would have known. All of them. No, it was just, this is where the Spirit of God is leading us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. By the inward witness. After they were, the Spirit is leading us this way, and everybody could see it together. Hallelujah. No, when they say, and he didn't say, Luke didn't say, "and Paul are shortly gathered." No, he said, "and we." So that means something they did together. Hallelujah. So see where God is leading them to. In chapter 17, verse 16, I thought to say that. Chapter 17, verse 16, he said, "Now, why Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city, the whole city, wholly given to adultery." His spirit was stirred. That word stirred, some translation call it, was provoked. And that provoked doesn't mean he got angry. No. He was provoked to preach. Do you see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He was provoked to preach. Not that he was angry. Hallelujah. There was no anger. But he was moved to preach. So you see, all these are reactions. They are reacting to something. Sure, you can see that. It's a reaction to something, right? A fact that has been exposed to it. Hallelujah. You perceive, right? Hallelujah. It was there. Look at Acts 18:5. Have another word there. He was pressed. "And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified of the Jews that Jesus was Christ." He was pressed. He saw like to have an urgency in his spirit. Hallelujah. Acts 20:22. A bit of where I'm going to spend the time. He was bound in the spirit. Bound in the spirit. See, I want to say this, but I'll take it up again. One way to actually, also when you, and it's not in any way for you to despise prophesying. Do you understand me? But remember I told you, as believers, you must learn to be slower than God. A little bit slower. Do you understand me? A believer doesn't just run things in haste. No. Just a bit slower than God. Just a bit. Do you understand? A bit. I'm not saying you should be slow. You're not go slow. You're not Baba go slow. But a bit slower. Right? Just a bit slower. A bit slower. Just take time again. A bit. Now, I'm not telling you not to despise prophesying. No. But you know, Paul had prophesying. And those prophecies were signaling that he shouldn't go to Jerusalem because of bonds awaiting him. Hope you know that. Right? Right? In fact, Philip's daughters prophesied. Agabus came to Paul's house. He didn't know who was the owner of the clothes, but he picked the clothes that bound it. I said, "So shall the owner of this be bound in Jerusalem." Do you understand? He prophesied. Now, if you read Acts 20 very well, brethren came and they were wailing and they said, "Paul, don't go." You know? Emotions. See, most times, emotions can play out. Do you understand? Emotions can play out. But you know, there's something about the inward witness. You know, and something there is that it's not that the prophecies were wrong. No, they're not wrong. Because Paul actually made mention of their words, of their prophecies. He says, the Spirit testified. Look at Acts 20 quickly. Let's rush to Acts 20. Now, look at Acts 20. Look at verse 22. It says, and now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit into Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Did you see? Save that the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying that bonds and affliction abide, and affliction abides me. Did you see that? Did you see that? Amen. So that means they did not prophesy lie, or they did not prophet lie. I mean, they did not prophesy. No, there's a different way: prophesy, prophesy, and prophet lie. Amen. Amen. Prophesy is when the prophecy is to bring money. So see, that is prophesy, and there's prophet lie. Amen. So, but let me just show you this. So now, I go bound in the Spirit. Now, Paul will not pick their words. Did you see that? I will not say the Spirit testifies. In verse 23, Holy Ghost testify, witness them, is saying that bonds and affliction. So that means what Paul is saying is that he is aware. So the Spirit, by prophecy, has already made him know what will await him, but he is bound by the Spirit to go. Did you see that? But if he was not listening to the inward witness, no, he would not have gone. Hope you know, he would not have gone. And in Jerusalem, you know, Paul. Ministry in Jerusalem was massive. It had massive results in Jerusalem. Hope you're following this. But imagine he just paid attention to just the prophecies alone and don't know how to use prophecies. You see that? But just stayed with it. But he was compelled in the Spirit to go. But yet he understood the fact that he would have bonds waiting for him in Jerusalem, but yet he's compelled in the Spirit to go. Hope you are following that. So how did he get how did he get compelled to go? The inward witness. The inward witness. Hallelujah. The inward witness. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. I say I hope to teach us some things again on leading and leadings, right? Amen. In the course of the year, maybe around that topic, really how to work with prophecies, how to work with prophecies and the inward witness. Very important. Glory to God. In Acts 27:10, he perceived that the voyage will be of Jonathan. He perceived. So these are reactions to facts. Reactions, perceived, pressed, compared, bound. You get reactions. Reactions from within. Hallelujah. And these reactions, permit me to put it this way, are witnesses of the Father. Or I put it this way, they are reactions of the Father. Because it will agree with the Spirit. Hallelujah. Do I agree with the written word also? Glory to God. Let me begin to close now. I have a few things to say. So, like I told ourselves, but it has to do with the inward witness. It will always, let me use it like this now, for today. It will always glorify Christ. It will be, the inward witness will always glorify Christ. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Now, I said that to say this. Most times, at the end of following, taking decisions, might not necessarily have to do with but not necessarily have to do with whether it will lead to more money in your account. Do you understand me? You know, most people, the reason why they take decisions is, will it translate to equal to money, or will it translate to, will I be fine? Most of them might not be like that, right? Look at Paul.
might not be like that, but you know, at the end of it, at the Paul got to prison in Jerusalem, right? But yet, did the gospel prevail in Jerusalem? Did it? That is the essence. That is the point. That is the point. That is it. Do you understand me? That little thing I've said, I've covered a whole lot of things. So rather than explaining it small, small, that should cover. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. That's the point. The revolution. Like as I said, when it comes to the inward witness, fear cannot be part of it, right? Right? Fear cannot be part of it when it comes to the inward witness. Quickly, as we close, what is the rule? The role your conscience plays in dreams also will tell your spiritual state. Right? We tell your spiritual state. Acts 10 verse 4. We find Peter. Piero. What did he say? What did Peter say? Acts 10 4. I've never eaten anything unclean. Acts 10 14, sorry, not 4. Is it 4? 14? 14. I've not eaten anything unclean. What is that? Self-righteousness. Did you see that? Right? Self-righteousness. So that means in dreams, my conscience will come to play. My conscience will come to play. Look at Acts 9:13. Look at Ananias. What did he say? When God told him to go to the street called Street, what did he say? He said, I've heard many things of this guy. So that means your conscience will come to play. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So this, as you get prepared for CRC, get prepared for CRC. You know, we will receive words, right? We will receive words. We will receive directions. Receive words, receive directions. We have encounters. Encounters of the Spirit, encounters in the Spirit. But you know, one thing this teaching will or should do for us is the fact that one, you receive it. You have been taught how to receive prophesying. Do not despise them, right? Right? Another thing is, after that meeting, don't be in a haste. Hope you are hearing me. Expose those facts to the inward witness. Expose those facts to the written words. To the written word. Don't be in a haste. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I know we will know how to make use of dreams. Right? Going forward, you know how to make use of dreams, right?
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Don't get overwhelmed. Once it doesn't agree with the written word, throw it away. That is what I know I've learned. One of the things I know I can never forget from Kenneth Higgins. Once it doesn't agree with the written word, throw it away. Kenneth Higgins is a person, years back, he said, even if the Lord Jesus appears to you, you know, you have such encounters. At a particular encounter, I said, the Lord Jesus appeared to him and was telling him some things and showing him some things. He just carried his Bible in that encounter and told him, say, show it to me. Show it to me. Hallelujah. Even the Lord Jesus said, God, you taught me. Hallelujah. But when any being appears to you, they tell you things. You don't get it. Show it to me. Glory to God. Once it can be proven from the written word, throw it away. Hallelujah. We have the written word. We have the inward witness. And they agree. Hallelujah. Let's be on our feet.